We will now sing hymn 133. Hear, hear, O earth, the watchman cry. The great millennial day draws nigh to Abraham's faithful race, in which the Lord revealed in fire will make the ungodly know his ire, who would not know his grace. Hymn 133. I ask you to give your undivided attention to our speaker, Mr. Robert Bennett, as he delivers to us his subject based on Bible teaching, Sodom and Gomorrah, a warning for today.
Sodom and Gomorrah, a warning for today. Has mankind learned the lessons of the past? Last week's lecture revealed the extent of God's judgments that came upon a wicked generation of people in the days of Noah. Eight people, namely Noah and his family, were saved from the destruction of a catastrophic and worldwide flood that destroyed all their contemporaries. Yet their descendants were typical of the human race in every age, have failed to learn the lessons of the past. Mankind has followed the evil thoughts of his heart continually as before. And what about God? He's soon forgotten. The rainbow, as you know, is a visible reminder of God's promise that he would not flood the earth in such a devastating scale. However, there's a common misconception. He did not say that he would not bring judgments upon the world again should mankind overstep the mark. And this is seen in a subsequent event recorded in Genesis chapter 11, which shows how low mankind degenerated. That event was the building of the Tower of Babel by a generation of people who had rebelled against the rule and against the true worship of God, and who resisted his will that they should go forth and replenish the earth. Once again, God brought an end to their wickedness and confused their tongues. And people migrated to all parts of the world. A worldwide effect, which evidence is seen in the various nations, cultures, languages, and dialects of the world today. God intervenes in world affairs, the affairs of mankind, to ensure that his great plan and purpose is fulfilled. Another important event that took place involved God's preservation of the one true faith, the one true religion, which continued the line of descent through which the Redeemer of mankind would come. As a means of background, we need to look at the brief life of Abraham. Terah, his father, took his son Abram, his wife Sarai, and his son Nahor, and Lot, his grandson, left their native land in Ur of the Chaldees, which signifies the light of the Chaldees, in which existed a religious sect of Babylon. Ur was a city whose ruins can be seen today, not far from the river Euphrates in Iraq. It's in the area known as the Fertile Crescent. It was a city of idolatry, and it was from this environment of spiritual darkness that Abraham was called to separate himself. God made certain promises to him, effective only if he left Ur, to go to another place that God would show him. And Paul the Apostle, in Galatians chapter 3, states that the gospel was preached to Abram in these promises and involved the purpose of God in Christ. Abraham turned his back upon their teaching and left Ur of the Chaldees and moved to a place called Haran, which name means enlightened. It's about 800 miles northwest of Ur of the Chaldees and north of the river Euphrates. So this time they had not crossed that river. During the stay at Haran, his father Terah died. Then God told Abraham to leave his family in Haran and cross the river Euphrates to enter a land that God would reveal to him. Abram obeyed and left Haran with Sarai and Lot. His brother Nahor did not go with him. And like Abram, all true believers are called upon to separate themselves from the world. That is, from the worldliness of this world society and their false religions, and to come to an understanding of God's will, his purpose, his great plan. Abram was told to pass over the river Euphrates into the land of promise. So believers are also urged to pass through the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. Abram remained a stranger and a pilgrim in the land, looking forward to the time when the promised seed should establish God's kingdom on the earth. And so it is incumbent upon all believers to do the same, to walk in the steps of faithful Abraham. As Abraham died in the hope of a resurrection to life eternal, so it is incumbent upon believers to do the same. If you go to Genesis chapter 13. Verse 3. We're told that Abraham went on his journey from the south even to Bethel and to a place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, and to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And it is at this time there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot. There wasn't enough land, there wasn't enough grazing pasture to feed them all. They were a huge herd. So they decided to separate. Abraham let Lot have the first choice of where he wanted to go. Lot saw the well-watered plain of Jordan, with the prosperous cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and was attracted by the prospects of an easy life and pleasant communal associations. So he left Abram and went down to Sodom with his family and all he possessed. In fact, he went down in more ways than one. He left the land of promise. He left the inheritance of Bethel, the house of God. But to Abraham, God made a further promise. Genesis 13 and verse 14 says, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Now this forms the basis of the hope of every true believer. Note that Abraham and his seed were promised the land forever. Not just for life, forever. It is obvious that this promise has not yet been fulfilled. It relates to a future time. If the promise had been fulfilled, Abraham, as his name was changed later, would necessarily have been resurrected to life to receive it. We now turn our attention to the lecture title, Sodom and Gomorrah, a warning for today. We need now to look and what befell Lot and his family in this region. First, I should mention that in Hebrew, Sodom means burnt, and Gomorrah means a ruined heap. So there is a suggestion that these names were actually added after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were not their original names. Why did God destroy Sodom? Here we have a beautiful picture of the Sea of Galilee. Another one. Beautiful. The plain of Jezreel, just a little lower to the Sea of Galilee. The Jordan Valley. We're making our way down the River Jordan. Here we see it meandering through the Jordan Valley, snaking its way all the way down. This particular map was taken from the tourist guide for Israel and the Dead Sea region. A very prosperous region, the Dead Sea. People flock there because of its medicinal properties. There's a certain kind of mud that they plaster themselves with. It's supposed to be good for the skin. But what do we recognize the Dead Sea for? Why did God destroy Sodom? There seems to be another number of different opinions in our changing world. So perhaps it is best, as it always is, to let the Word of God in the Scriptures, the Holy Bible, account, speak for itself. The entire story of Sodom and Gomorrah is found in Genesis chapters 18 and 19, along with other references throughout the Bible. If you turn to Genesis chapter 18 then. We are told in this chapter, the three angels of God visited Abraham and Sarah. One angel bears good news for Abraham and Sarah, that Sarah would bear a man-child. What of the other two angels that visited at that time? They were on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah, and for a reason. In Genesis chapter 19, in verse 1, there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." What did Lot do? He panicked. He knew very well what the people of Sodom were like. For them to spend the night in the square, in the midst of that wicked and evil place, was untenable thought. He could not wish for a worse thought than them to say, "I'll stay in the night in the square." No, he insisted that they stay the night with him. He prepared a meal, baked bread without yeast, and they ate. But before they had gone to bed, all the men from every quarter of the city, every part of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, verse 3, he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Now here was an angry mob, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." What happened next has caused many to look at Lot with revulsion. His offering of his two young daughters to this evil mob. But did Lot really mean it? Would he really have handed his two daughters over to this unruly mob? Or was it intended as a sort of diversionary tactic? an offer that he knew would not be accepted by the men outside. He knew that those men had no interest in women. The men at the city persisted and almost came to breaking down the door. But the men of God inside Lot's house reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. And what happened next was God's judgment in a small way. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. Lot then was given the opportunity to appeal to his relations in the city, to warn them of the pending destruction of the cities of the plain, and to flee the city. The two men said to Lot in verse 12, "Hast thou here any besides the two daughters in the house? Son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And this is a typical reaction even today as we preach the gospel message. It's met with scorn, ridicule, apathy, indifference. And this is today's society. You think we've come a long way from these days, but have they learned the lessons of the past? No. Not at all. It is not in man to direct his steps. He is gradually getting worse and worse and degenerative and degenerative. By the time Lot left the city, he has to flee to a small little town called Zoar. The sun had risen over the land, and at that time came God's judgment upon Sodom, sister city Gomorrah, and the cities of the plain. These are the sites of the Dead Sea region that they pump out to the world. Come and see the Dead Sea. The bottom left one is called Flower or Floor JPG. The one above it is a cave where the Dead Sea Scrolls were once found. The middle one on the top is like a pleasure dome for the world. And yet you get the beautiful one in the top right corner. It's like an oasis. The bottom middle one is actually an altar to Lot's wife, made of salt. And we all know the bottom right one is Masada. Look how beautiful the Dead Sea is presented to us. It's a beautiful region, but its history has something else to offer. Beautiful, isn't it? This is a space shot of the Dead Sea that is dying 3 feet a year. What reason? between 1992 and 1999 and identified the regions that were sinking due to the raw sewage that was being pumped into the River Jordan. Scientists had a field day, and it is still shrinking. And yet, we have this kind of pleasure. They can't sink in the Dead Sea. Did you know that? Because of all its pollution. It's absolutely, I think it's got 90% salt in it. You can never sink in it. But I warn you this, don't drink it. That's an old photograph. You're probably welcome. No. Because this is the result of it. The sediment at the end. If you noticed on the space shot, the white part at the bottom south is all white. And this is the result of it. Salt, pollution, the sediment of all that sewage that comes down the River Jordan. But it wasn't always like this. It wasn't always like this. It was only until God rained fire and brimstone from heaven upon a wicked generation and society. Remember Lot's wife has sometimes been used as an analogy not to look back. Don't desire. Don't desire to return to the former way of life. To a lifestyle of deliberate and flagrant sin after one has already been called out and accepted the offer of salvation. The result would be the same as those who never left. Early next morning, Genesis 19 and verse 27. Abram got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. When he overthrew through the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. Why didn't Lot stay in Zoar? Because Zoar also was corrupt. It might have been a little city, as the margin says, but it was as corrupt as the other cities of the plain. He was afraid to stay there with all its perverted society. The Septuagint's Greek rendering, catastrophe, probably led to the opinion that the destruction of Sodom was accompanied by great upheavals of the earth, which led to the formation of the Dead Sea. Whether or not it was a nuclear explosion of God's doing, as some people seem to believe, or another sort of natural force, we can say for certain the destruction of Sodom came with such great power. Its devastation was so complete that, unlike so many other ancient cities, no trace of it has yet been found. The location of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities of the plain is always subject to speculation. I should say that Sodom was the chief city of a group of five, known as the Pentapolis region. It's collectively referred to us as the cities of the plain. Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, Zeboim, and Bela. Bela is actually called Zoar. Another identifies it with Tel Esh Shagur, but that was 7 miles north of the Dead Sea. That is the country about the Jordan. It was in an area that constituted the southern tip of the Canaanites. Josephus identifies Segor with Zoara of Arabia at the south end of the Dead Sea. Others say it was 3 miles south of the Dead Sea. What is known for certain is that it was somewhere southeast, as Jerusalem, southeast, which is on the Dead Sea area of Jerusalem, and also known as the Salt Sea. Now, there might be a confusion as to whether it's in the north or in the south, for one simple reason. If you go to Judges chapter 19, and verse 20. A similar event took place to the occurrences in Sodom, which involved the town of Gibeah of Benjamin. That would be in the north, above the Dead Sea in the region of Jordan. In verse 20, here is a man, a Levite, that had come to Gibeah. And in verse 20, the old man said, "Peace with thee. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me, only lodge not in the street." The Levite was going to lodge in the street overnight. So his host brought him into his house and gave provender unto the asses, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. Now, as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him." What do we learn from this? It also shows then that the fornication of Sodom was not unique. Mankind has not learned the lessons of the past, has he? How long after did this happen from the days of Sodom? Yet it goes on. And it goes on right up until this day. We do know that Abraham was able to see it from where? Where was he residing? Again, salt seabeds. Where was Abraham able to see the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? He was in a place called Mamre, where he built an altar. He was able to look across the Dead Sea, down the slopes, and see the destruction of Sodom. So although we got Sodom at the bottom, you could easily see it from Mamre. It was a high elevation. We know that he could see it. Mamre actually is near Hebron, to the west of the Dead Sea. It's located about 18 miles, which is 29 kilometers, west of the Dead Sea, at a latitude about halfway between its north and south ends. So he could see plain where Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plains were. Now, the story of Sodom, the whole occurrence of this devastating destruction, has given rise to words in several languages, including English. The word sodomy means acts, stigmatized as unnatural vice. This is somebody's idea of the power that Sodom and Gomorrah met at their end. We could say it was nuclear power. We know it as fire and brimstone from heaven. Could it be the whole of Israel is on a rift valley, which could have upset the plates. All we are concerned with is the power of God to destroy the wicked. And this is the reason why God destroyed Sodom and its sister cities. Unnatural vice such as homosexuality and other perversions, bestiality, lesbians, whatever, it comes all under the same title. The word sodomite, meaning those who practice these acts. The unnatural sins of the inhabitants, Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, were destroyed by brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. You go to Hosea, chapter 11. Verse 3, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. And he shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refused to return. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches and devour them because of their counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? My heart is turned within me. My repentance are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. And I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria, and I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim compass me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with his saints. Here is the Jewish history in a nutshell. A stiff, backsliding people, but never forgotten by God. Since then, Sodom and sodomy and sodomites, they're all associated and synonymous with shameless sin. And their fall has become a byword, a proverbial manifestation of God's just wrath. If you go to Deuteronomy 29, verse 22, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is this day. This is God's judgment upon an evil society, upon the wickedness of man. What has changed? Deuteronomy 32 and verse 32. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me, and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants, when he seeth that their power is gone, and there is none shut up or left. Pending judgment. It happened at the Noah flood. It happened in the days of Lot. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. This is all bubbling up to a future event, a time of judgment upon this world society. Ezekiel chapter 16. And verse 49. Beginning of verse 44. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwelt at thy left hand. And thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom, and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. But as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her, and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. New Testament, Matthew chapter 11. Verse 22. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell, to Sheol, to the grave. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Can you see how everything has degenerated? Everything has culminated into today's society. And this latter reference in Matthew indicates that there is to be a future judgment. What does the Apostle Peter say on this matter? If you go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that are thereafter should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation or way of life of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. No, but they are reserved to judgment. Not the judgment seat of Christ, but they are reserved for the wrath and anger and recompense of the Lord when he brings the judgments upon this evil world. Our president read at the beginning, Romans chapter 1. And these verses says it all. The type of society that we live in today. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known to God of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What were the gay rights and lesbian rights you've got today? They're without excuse. They find no place on this earth because they are abomination to God. They profess themselves to be wise, but in the end they're all fools. They change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, whereof God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Bestiality. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Sodomites. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, that is, pitiless, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Every one of those itemized in that list, you're talking about today's society. And we live amongst it. In Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, the look on their faces testifies against them. They parade their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them. They have brought disaster upon themselves. In Jude, similar way to Sodom and Gomorrah, and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to these immoralities, promiscuous practices, and their perverted ideas. And they serve as an example of those who will suffer the judgments of God in the future. Today's society only seeks to gratify itself under an uncontrolled desire to sin. But things will soon be changed, which will bring it into order and subjection to the sovereignty of God. The Noahic flood demonstrated the power of God to purge the world of its wickedness. And so did Sodom and the destruction of it. If God had no further purpose with his creation, mankind will eventually devour itself. But God has other plans. For God so loved the world, he determined that it should not perish, but should be delivered from evil in spite of itself. From the beginning, his purpose was to fill the earth with a people suitable for the divine purpose, to give him the glory and honor he deserves. I'd like to close some extracts from Psalm 37. Interesting that our president chose this particular psalm in our first meeting today. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. And here is a wise maxim. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. The promises to Abraham forever, not for life, forever. You and you will have a part in it if you adhere to this. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verse 28. The Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. That's the future, brothers and sisters. That's what lies ahead. And this is just an idea. The desert shall blossom like a rose. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace.